know, that God is so immense and a little complicated for us. We only basically learn about him through the scripture, the word of God, and the word of God reveals his persons to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call that the triune God, the, you know, Godhead. Some people term it that way. But the thing that happens to us sometimes, because we're a little bit limited in how we think, we'll think about God the Father, or we'll think about God the Son, and then we'll think about God the Spirit. But very rarely do we think of all three at one time. And today, the text that we're looking at is basically talking about all three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. I've been trying to explain that as we go through John. Three persons, one God, and how they work for our benefit and to help us to know God, to walk with God, to be God's people, right? Excuse me, I'm going to turn this thing off. So the guys up here can do that when they leave. Okay. So, you know, the idea of understanding, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of them working in us at the same time. Now remember, we talked about Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's the last day that he's with them. They are in the upper room, and this is, he actually leaves the upper room. We don't know exactly where he goes. I'm guessing he goes to the Mount of Olives and then down to the garden at Gethsemane, down at the bottom of that. But this is his night with them. He's talking to them, chapter 13 through 16, and we're in chapter 14, right? And he already told him, he said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he's talking about, you know, going and making ready the kingdom of heaven for us. When we are raised from the dead, we will go and be where Jesus is. And we will be in that kingdom and that place that he's prepared for us. And we talked about a lot of that last time. But here he says this, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Very interesting. You know, we like to say, I love Jesus. One of our favorite songs, even with the kids, is, you know, oh, how I love Jesus, right? But how do you show, or how do you know that you love Jesus? And Jesus spells it out for us very clearly. If you love me, you will do what I command. You will follow the commandments that he laid in front of us. And I thought about that. And you know, there's the one great commandment that he brings up here in John. And that is to love one another, right? And that really is a very powerful thing when you talk about it. It means I care about you. Paul tells us that the mind of Christ is a mind that basically says, I can't just think of myself, I have to think of you. I have to think of others. I have to think of their needs first. So that's one command. You know, you can look at Matthew where he goes in the Sermon on the Mount for three chapters talking about the idea of seeking Christian character. What do we want to be? We want to be God's people. We want to be people that take on the image of God, the image of Christ. We want to be a Christian in our hearts, in our life, right? We want to be salt and light in the world. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And he's telling us that because if we take on the character of God, if we're walking with God, if we're listening to what Jesus taught and doing the things he taught, we have a different way of looking at the world, different way of looking at you know, moral issues and social issues and all kinds of questions, right? So Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep following my ways. And literally, it is something to grasp hold of something and hold tight to it. You know, and we talk about that all the time with the Word of God and the commands of God. We cling to it. That's why we always are talking from Scripture. We're always talking about what Jesus talked about, what Paul talked about, just so that we know we're in line with the thinking of God. And that's where we want to be. He says, so if you love me, right, you will obey my commands. And then I'm going to ask my Father. So here you have the Son, Jesus Christ, and he's called us to a way of life, a way of living, a way of thinking, okay? He says, and I'm going to ask the Father, and the Father is going to give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now this word is, some of us know the Greek word for counselor is paraclete. And it's a word that this dictionary called Lodita, the two guys that wrote it, they said it's really a word you can't just apply one meaning to because you'll miss a whole bunch of what he does. Right? So he says, you know, like you can say counselor, comforter, teacher. There's all these different things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And they wrote down in their lexicon, says paraclete, you know, one language in Central Africa, translates it, the one who falls down beside us. That is to say, an individual who, upon finding a person collapsed along the road, kneels down beside the victim, cares for his needs, and carries him to safety. I think, in other words, the idea of God saying, I'm going to put somebody with you. I'm going to put somebody with you to help your wounded soul. I'm going to put somebody with you to lead you and care for you and nurture you. I'm going to put somebody with you to, you know, correct you if you need to be corrected. All these different things. And the Holy Spirit does all of that, right? And so just the idea, what Jesus says is, you know, I'm going away. I want you to show your love by obeying me. And when you have that love, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you the paraclete. He's going to give you this protector of your life and of your soul, right? And he tells him, he says, you know, the other thing about it is, he says, he'll be with you forever. You know, they always say you can't take it with you. Ha-ha. Here's something you actually take with you. This is so important for us to understand the reality of being a Christian and the spiritual nature of our life. We have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Spirit working in you. The Spirit is that which helps us to know God, helps us to worship God and to follow God. And often when people, you know, receive the Spirit, they might not have some extraordinary, like, super experience, but all of a sudden things in their attitudes change. I love Cliff's story. He tells us, you know, he says, all of a sudden I was reading the Bible. I was going to church. And he said, I asked him, I said, why am I doing that? I never did that before. You know, why is that so important to me? He says, you got saved, brother. You know, the Spirit of God works in a life, works in a heart and a mind, and leads us towards righteousness and holiness and walking with God. One of the things, in, you know, my experience was, you know, I lived kind of a careless life as a young person. And when God finally brought me in and he gave me the Spirit of God, just I radically changed. And my own brother was sitting across from me at a table, and we're talking about a month or so after I'd been, you know, a Christian. And he just stopped and says, you are a different person. The thing that you look for when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it isn't the warm and fuzzies, you know, which I like those, but that's not basically what it's about. It's even the energy to worship and to praise God, it's nice, but a changed heart, a changed life, a changed frame of mind. You know, we're talking in my little class about Romans 8 and the idea of the mind of the Spirit versus the mind of the flesh. People that don't have Jesus Christ, they have no choice but to think according to the flesh. They have nothing else to guide them. So they live in the flesh. They think the worldly thoughts that are bombarded in our homes and in messages and all over the internet, television, whatever you're watching, it's there. The message of the flesh, right? Here, by the power of Jesus Christ, calling, asking his Father, and his Father giving us this gift, he says, we will have the Spirit of truth. A vast difference than anything else that's in the world. You realize that there's truth that people have, and it's according to the flesh. It's, you could call it common sense, but common sense isn't God's sense. Common sense isn't divine sense. When he talks about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God testifies in our heart. When we hear the truth, he just screams, amen, that's right, that's the way it should be. And he leads us towards that truth. And the idea, though, that he's there with us into eternity, we get to keep that. I pray for all of us. I do that regularly. I pray for all of us to be filled with the Spirit of God, however that comes, however the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And, you know, sometimes it comes like a lightning storm, and God will just blast you. And you know, it's what happened to me. Just changed my life, you know, immensely. Some people, it's more like a gentle rain that comes over a period of time. And after a while, they just know They've got the Spirit of God because their mindset's different. Their way of life is different. They're engaged in the Word of God. And again, it's kind of interesting. Like, if you love me, you'll do what I want, and I will pray, you know, ask the Father, and he'll give you the Spirit, right? And it's like, it's kind of a circle, isn't it? Because when you have the Spirit, what do you want to do? You want to obey the commands of Jesus Christ and continue that walk with God in the Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Very, very important that we understand when we talk about Jesus Christ. So, well, how do you know anything about Jesus Christ other than what's written? Well, the Spirit of God is also called the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. So how do you know anything about God? Well, it's by the Spirit of God. How do you know about Jesus Christ? It's the Spirit of Christ. You know, how do you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? The Spirit of Christ tells you he's risen from the dead, right? He says the world doesn't know any of that. The world doesn't see any of that, right? They don't understand. They can't accept it, and they're ignorant of it. Living in darkness, lost. He says he lives with you and he will be in you, meaning that when Jesus was physically with them, they were knowing the things of God, knowing the things of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, guess what? It's the same God. Remember, one God, three persons. When you have the Holy Spirit, you know Father, you know Son, you know the Spirit, right? So then he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Think about orphans. Now, our world, we have a state that takes care of people and does a lot of things, but a lot of places in the world, some of the places like Uganda, where Christine works, there are tons of you know, what? Catherine. Yeah, sorry, Catherine. I haven't done that in a long time. Yeah, Catherine worked. But the idea is there are all these children that are born. They've lost their parents to AIDS or to civil wars and all this stuff. And you have lots of children and nobody to care for them. No one to watch out for them. Very vulnerable, very weak. And that's, you know, why we try to help with that work that she does, because she's trying to help some of those kids, mainly girls. But you know, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you vulnerable. I'm not going to leave you empty-handed as you face the world. I mean, you think about who Jesus is. Jesus is God who became flesh, and he experienced life. He knew what it was like to lose a friend when Lazarus died, and he wept with the sisters of Lazarus. He saw, you know, the harshness of leaders that didn't care about anything but themselves. He saw the cruelty of governments that used their powers in an abusive manner. He knew how hard it was going to be for his disciples. And he says, I'm not going to leave you vulnerable. I'm not going to leave you as just a sheep ready to be devoured. He says, I'm going to come to you. Again, I will come to you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's just like this idea of fellowship. He does that in 1 John. He says, you know, I'm writing you that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. In other words, the unity of God is perfect. There's no disunity in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's no argument. There's no, you know, I'll do your job. No, everybody, everything working perfectly together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? And what does he do with that? He brings us into that. There should be unity. So many times in the New Testament, the apostles call for unity. Unity in the church, unity of mind, unity of heart, unity in mission. Unity in you know, desires and what we want to accomplish and those kinds of things, right? He's talking about that kind of unity that's going to be brought not just within the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but also in his people. He's talking about making us basically family. So here you've got the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit basically taking care of us. Remember that word paraclete, like it said, you know, the one who comes and picks you up. You've been wounded, you've been broken, You've been hurting, maybe lost, right? And he says, no, the Father, he initiates it. He basically wants to help us. So he leans down that word grace. He leans down to help us. Jesus Christ, the Logos, who became flesh and died on the cross for the grace of God to be effective in our lives. Then when Jesus Christ gave himself for us, right? It made it possible for us to be forgiven, possible for us to be declared righteous by God and to possess righteousness in us. And then the Holy Spirit comes within and takes care of us and leads us through this world, right? You see the Trinity at work in our salvation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together. Then Judas asked him, not Iscariot, but Lord, how do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied again, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come and we will make our home with them. Again, this idea of the unity of heart and mind, in obedience and love with God. And the promise is that we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we will come and make our home with them. You realize as we gather together, you know, Paul tells us we're the temple of the Lord, right? We're the dwelling place of God. As we come together and worship the Lord and praise him and call upon his name, we are basically that home of God. And Jesus told us at the beginning of the chapter, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a home for you. How do you know you belong to heaven? How do you know you belong to God, right? Well, he's in us. He's with us. He's taught us, and he's making his home in us now, and we will be at home with him forever. It's just a sign, a symbol to us that we are already his. We're already belonging to his family, and one day that's going to be an absolute reality in the kingdom of heaven. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. You see, it's just on every line, there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the words of God, the truth of God, the salvation of God. The sad part about it is the world doesn't receive it. How do you know whether you belong to the world or belong to God? I receive the word of God. I love the word of God. I want to hear the word of God. I want to practice the word of God, right? I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Spirit of God in my life. I want it in your life. I want it in our life together as we celebrate the Lord and call upon his name. All this I've spoken while with you, but the counselor, again, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Again, he's called the Spirit of Truth. It's the idea of Jesus and God coming to us, revealing God, showing us who God is, dwelling in us, remaining in us. Paul tells us, about the mind of God. He said, for to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Why are we so different? Why are we, that's what holy means, different. Why do we think differently? Because we have a different framework of thinking and seeing and knowing what truth is. It comes from God. It comes from his word. It comes from his spirit. It comes from the salvation that is brought to us through Jesus Christ. All that work of the Trinity working in us, leading us to understand God. And that's why we shake our heads at the world and we think about some of the ideas that are coming out of our modern culture. Just how in the world can people be that lost? And the answer is simple. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the word. They don't seek to know the word, right? And so we're special because God's working in us. We're different because God's working in us, the Trinity. He said, peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. That's how he started the chapter. He's very concerned because his disciples are about to watch him be put on a trial, a second trial, whipped, beaten, and crucified. And they're going to be shaken. And he said, don't be troubled. He's going to give peace. You know, that's the thing when we talk about the Spirit of God, the power of God's Spirit to bring peace to our hearts in the midst of a storm, to give us sound reason when things are looking confused around us, right? We call on the name of the Lord. So again, this great experience that we have walking with God. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'd be glad I'm going away to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Here you have this again. You know, okay, and now what do you do with greater than I? Well, it's simple. It's like, you know, there is the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. There's absolute unity in everything, in purpose, in mission, in seeking our salvation. There's perfect unity. It's not like if you know, you got two people arguing about which one's the greatest, right? Well, he's greater. Well, that means I got to get better so I can be. That's not how God looks at us, how God works. He's not a human being like that. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, each have their place, their function, their purpose, and all working for our salvation and for the glory of the kingdom of God. So I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. And he's just, again, he's worried about his disciples. He wants his disciples, when they take him away, when they're able to beat him, when they're able to crucify him, he said, don't, you know, I want you to believe in who I am. So he's telling them everything before it happens. He says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. And then he says, come, now let's leave. So here he brings up the prince of the world, and he called him the god of this age in another place, talking about the devil. The devil, and he says he's coming and he has no part in him. The sad part about this is basically that the world, the devil, you know, everything that is against God in this age misses out on everything that Jesus is talking about, misses out on the Spirit, misses out on the wisdom, misses out on having anything to take with you. In other words, we get to take the eternal life, the Holy Spirit with us, right? Misses out on the peace of God that surpasses understanding, the peace of God that is much better than anything the world gives, right? All that. And they end up basically in darkness and defeat. Listen, we love our Savior, right? So we obey him. We try to obey Jesus Christ. And he asks the Father, and the Father gives us the Spirit, who is our help, who's the one who gives us strength and wisdom and guidance and communicates Christ and the Father and everything to us. God the Father gives us the Spirit. The Spirit unites us to God, the Father, Son, Spirit. God abides in us, leading us towards our forever home, right? He teaches us the mind of God and gives us peace. The world and its prince do not receive the truth or peace since they do not love Jesus. I pray for us that God will fill us with the Holy Spirit, that God will give us all these great promises that unite us to the Father, Son, and Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your holy powers would work in us and that you would help us, Lord, to know you better. Fill us, Almighty God, by your grace. Fill every heart, Lord. Everyone that yields to you, everyone that calls upon you, everyone that says, Lord, I want to obey Jesus Christ. I pray that you fill our hearts. Make us, O Lord God, your dwelling place. And prepare us, Lord, for that great dwelling place in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.